things that resulted in the Hollywood 10 blacklisting.
A California newspaper says that Ronald Reagan, during his acting days in the 40s, served as an informant for the FBI, supplying names of people who allegedly followed the communist line in Hollywood. The San Jose Mercury News said Reagan's first wife, actress Jane Wyman, was also an informant.
We're people gonna rise up and take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
This Week in Radical History is produced from the mobile fortress of Glee Glee Studios.
What we got to say, yeah. Fight the power. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What we got to say, yeah. Fight the power. Come on.
Inspiration for this piece came from the Slingshot Organizer, and much of the radical info can be found in the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website.
Come on. Yo, check this out, man.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
We'd like to recognize a lot of great work that we're gently lifting for this week's show. On This Day in History is produced in the Neighborhood Network of Columbus, Ohio, and some audio is being borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI New York, which you're about to hear right now.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 6, in 1887, David Kalakaua, the king of the Hawaiian Islands, signed the Bayonet Constitution. The document greatly shifted the power from the king to an all-white cabinet and catered to the demands of the white Americans and Europeans who already had a monopoly on the Hawaiian sugar economy. It also created new guidelines for voting based on income that excluded two-thirds of Native Hawaiians. King Kalakaua was forced to accept the new constitution, knowing that the threat of a violent overthrow was imminent if he resisted. 6 years later, the white cabinet overthrew his sister, Queen Liliuokalani, who had come to power after the king's death. Hawaii was later annexed by the U.S. in 1898. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Say it, say it, say it.
This Week in Radical History, starting July 7th. On this day in 1535, Sir Thomas More, a humanist and author of Utopia, after refusing to acknowledge the King of England as the head of the church, loses his to the king's axemen. Also on July 7th, 1846, the colonial power in the New World known as America declares war on Mexico and steals California and parts that would be known as Texas. Also on July 7th, 1892, in the land of free speech, the song, A Man Named Carnegie, appears during the Homestead Strike. It is during this strike that anarchist Henry Bayer is arrested and sent to prison for 5 years for distributing leaflets. Also on July 7, 1903, in Kennington, Pennsylvania, 27,000 workers abused by their employers go on strike, and the child textile workers protest in what is called the March of the Mill Children. All are malnourished, many missing fingers all the way up to the knuckles. The strikers march in the factory owners' neighborhoods. In one of the newspapers, it is quoted about the strike saying, I called upon the millionaire manufacturers to cease their moral murders, and I cried to the officials to open their windows opposite. Someday the workers will take possession of your city hall, and when they do, no children will be sacrificed on the altar of profit. Labor organizer Mary Harris Mother Jones leads the children from Philly to the summer home of President Roosevelt, who refuses to meet with them. Also on a date in 1923 in France, the Paris Dental Museum of M. Wangram is bombed by neo-nihilists. Quoting the nihilist, once bitten, always fearful. Also on July 7, 1947, Roswell crash occurs. Government reports that it is a flying saucer that crashed. Then a day later, nah, it was only a weather balloon. Also on July 7, 1966, after the Tompkins incident and later proven in Pentagon Papers that it was a CIA-created lie, governors meet and vote 49-1 to back LGB's plan of a full-scale war in Vietnam. Also on July 7, 1979, 2,000 Indian activists and anti-nuclear demonstrators march through the Black Hills of South Dakota to protest the development of uranium mines in their sacred lands. In the summer of 1987, after right-wing favorite Lieutenant Colonel Ali Noor's testimony captivates the nation during Iran-Contra hearings, it was revealed that he was ordered by the Reagan administration and then CIA chief former President George Bush Sr. to sell arms for hostages, directly going against a resolution passed in Congress. Don't worry, like all right-wing criminals, he'd be pardoned by the president the next Christmas. Also on July 7, 2001, Amnesty International says China has executed 1,781 in the last 3 months, yet they somehow win the bid for the Olympics that is playing this year. This week in radical history for July 8, 1520, in the New World, Battle of Atampan in Mexico. It wasn't really a battle, but more like a massacre, as the Spaniards slay over 20,000 Aztecs. Also on July 8, 1932, depression hits its low point as the Dow Jones Industrial Average drops to 41.22. How low will it go this time? Don't worry, the capitalists have their way of making money.
The Public Works Administration, or WPA, was inaugurated on this day in the United States in 1933. It was a massive federal employment program designed to help jumpstart the economy, not by giving tax incentives to industry or tax cuts to the rich, but by hiring hundreds of thousands of the unemployed to build bridges, roads, hospitals, schools, and affordable housing. For 6 years, the WPA paid out more than $2 billion a year in wages, saving many from abject poverty and homelessness.
Also on July 8, 1945, 8 German POWs shot to death and 20 wounded in Salina, Utah, when prison guard Private Clarence Pertusi sprays a tent on a sleeping prisoners with machine gun fire. Don't worry, like Abu Ghraib, Camp Gitmo, Malai, Fallujah, and Haditha, the military is good at covering its butts and protecting its soldiers, even when they commit war crimes. Lastly, for July 8, 1980, Congress never passes on an opportunity to screw Native Americans as they enact the Hopi Navajo Forced Relocation Act to, quote, solve, unquote, the problem of impending access to coal deposits in Big Mountain, Arizona. Navajo families at Big Mountain continue their resistance to this day. This week in radical history for July 9, 1917, when Emma Goldman and Alexander Berkman are charged with conspiracy to defeat military registration under the conscription law, they are sentenced today to serve 2 years in prison, pay fines of $10,000 each, and quietly deported to Russia at the expiration of their prison terms. U.S. Marshal McCarthy says, this marks the beginning of the end of anarchism in New York. Also on July 9, 1945, 3 black members of the U.S. Women's Army Corps Reserve are beaten in Elizabethtown, Kentucky bus terminal for sitting in the white section when the black section is full. The policemen involved are, of course, acquitted. Also on the date July 9, 1955, the Russell-Einstein Manifesto on Danger of Nuclear War is published in London. Bertrand Russell and Albert Einstein and 7 other prominent scientists warn of nuclear war could, quote, put an end to the human race, unquote. Einstein would later say, only 2 things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the former. Also on July 9, 1958, in Lebanon, USA invades with 14,000 troops and armed with nuclear-capable rockets to protect American interests.
The American feminist pioneer Alice Paul died on this day in 1977 at the age of 92. Paul is thought to be one of the most influential activists on behalf of women's rights in both the United States and worldwide. In 1913, Paul and others organized a suffrage march in Washington, D.C. to coincide with President Woodrow Wilson's inauguration. The effort gained national attention when hostile male onlookers physically attacked the peaceful march. Paul was jailed and tortured along with other suffragists after staging a silent picket in front of the White House during Wilson's term. After women finally gained the right to vote in the U.S. in 1920, Paul went on to pressure the United Nations to add an equal rights clause in the UN Charter. Then she authored the Equal Rights Amendment and campaigned for its passage in the U.S. until her death. That amendment was passed by the Congress in 1972, but was never ratified by enough states to become law. The ERA has been reintroduced in each Congress ever since, the text of which reads simply, "Equality and rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged in the United States or by any state on account of sex." And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, July 9th. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
On this day in radical history for July 10th, 1894, 14,000 federal and state troops finally succeed in putting down a labor strike against the Pullman Place Car Company, which had been a peaceful strike until July 7th, when the federal troops intervened on the side of industrialists in Chicago. During the Pullman strike, federal troops killed 34 American Railway Union members. Also on July 10th, 1962, peace-loving American government rejects Soviet's proposal to complete and general disarmament of nuclear weapons. This is one of only many similar attempts by Russia to defuse the armament race that is rejected by the U.S. throughout the 50s and 60s.
This is your radio reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 10th in 1966, 2 years before his assassination, Martin Luther King Jr. was leading the Chicago Freedom Movement against the city's segregated slums. This was the first time that King and the SCLC had tackled desegregation issues in the North, and to their surprise, it proved to be a more hostile battleground than the outright racism of the South. King's experience in Chicago caused him to reshape his views on American capitalism and the process of change. When King was later criticized for involving himself in the anti-Vietnam War movement and the Poor People's Campaign in America, he argued that there was a direct relationship between poverty and racism and American militarism and imperialism.
Also on July 10, 1976, KKK members near Georgetown, Illinois, gathered for a friendly neighborhood cross burning. The meeting got off on the wrong foot. They went to plant the cross, only to find it was too heavy to move. It took the white-robed merrymakers 3 hours to chop the cross down to a portable size. Then they planted it, only to find it would not light. Finally, they gave up and went home, somewhat crossed. Two more items on July 10, 1895 in New Zealand. French secret police blow up the Greenpeace Rainbow Warrior anti-nuclear vessel in Ockham Harbor, killing one activist. State terrorism at its finest.
On this day, July 11th in 1656, the first Quakers arrived in the American colonies. They were Anne Austin and Mary Fisher, both of whom were escaping religious persecution in England just as the Puritans had less than 30 years earlier. They sailed at first to Barbados, where they were greeted warmly, then to Boston, where they were immediately arrested and held in isolation without adequate food and water for 5 weeks before being deported back to Barbados, their books and clothes and other effects having been confiscated and burned. Shortly thereafter, laws were enacted in the colonies which forbade Quakerism and in some cases even allowed the death penalty to be imposed upon those who practiced the religion in defiance of the law. In 1905, a civil rights movement was begun on this day in Ontario near Niagara Falls as one of America's great intellectuals, African-American socialist W.E.B. Du Bois, held a founding meeting of an organization he called the Niagara Movement. The organization was small and underfunded but grew steadily over the next several years, and in 1909 was renamed the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP. Its founding principles were a demand for equal voting rights for all American citizens and the right to protest against injustices and a call for full and equal respect under the law for every American.
Also on July 11, 1947, 8 black prisoners killed at Brunswick, Georgia for refusing to work in snake-infested swamps without boots.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 11th in 1954, the first known chapter of the White Citizens Council was formed in Indianola, Mississippi, and within a few months had spread to the rest of the Deep South. The White Citizens Council had white supremacist beliefs similar to that of the KKK, but they used economic pressure and political tactics rather than direct violence in order to oppress people of color. The council was often referred to as an uptown clan, as many members were in positions of power. Its successor organization, the Council of Conservative Citizens, is still actively promoting many of the same racist principles today. And some people argue that America's racist legacy is in the past.
Also on July 11, 1955, Congress, wanting to show how much different they are than the godless commies, ordered all American currency to state, "In God we trust."
And in Haiti on this day in 1990, hundreds of thousands of citizens demonstrated in support of the country's newly elected president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who was facing a mounting campaign of violence and intimidation by the Tonton Macou, or the former militia, created under the previous Duvalier dictatorship. Aristide was a proponent of social reforms, many of which, like raising Haiti's minimum wage and ending government corruption, ran afoul of U.S. policy interests, and when Aristide was overthrown in a coup less than 2 years later, he accused the United States of having supported it. Aristide was later returned to the presidency when his illegitimate successor was ousted by a popular uprising, but after questions were raised regarding the legitimacy of the next round of elections, the U.S. staged another coup and abducted Aristide and deported him to the U.S. client state of the Central African Republic. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, July 11th.
This day in radical history for July 12th, 1892, state militia moved to break the 12-day labor strike against the Carnegie Steel Corporation in Homestead, Pennsylvania. Strikers protesting wage cuts of 18% to 26% suffer 7 deaths in the attacks by the Pinkerton Private Police Force of Carnegie Steel Company. Hey, but look, Carnegie was kind enough to donate all that money in the great Carnegie Hall, all off the backs of the workers. Also on July 12, 1917, final days of the vigilantes deport the striking mill workers in Bisbee, Arizona. Yesterday, authorities sealed off the county, seized the local Western Union Telegraph office in order to cut outside communication, and several thousand armed vigilantes rounded up 1,186 miners of the Industrial Workers of the World, IWW, and began herding them into manure-laden boxcars to be shipped off and dumped in the New Mexico desert. Also on July 12, 1951, Adlai Stevenson calls up the National Guard to stop the rioting in Socorro, Illinois. A mob of 3,500 tries to keep an African-American family from moving into the city. People, the time has
come. This is your Radio Works reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 12th in 1967, tension between whites and blacks in Newark, New Jersey exploded into 6 days of rioting when the police arrested and beat a black cab driver named John Smith. The rioting left 23 people dead and thousands of others were injured or arrested. Although Newark had quickly become one of the first major cities to have a majority black population, political power remained in the control of whites. The black community was plagued by police brutality, unemployment, poor housing conditions, and poverty. After the riots, much of Newark's white population left the city, and poverty continued to plague Newark's black community. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it.
Also on July 12, 1996, two Ontario men are beaten and dragged in San Antonio, Texas by police who think they are gay. This has been This Week in Radical History. Welcome to more stations that have picked up on a little ditty, radicalradio.org and KLGR 95.3 FM in Boulder. Inspiration for This Week in Radical History came from the Slingshot organizer. Google the Slingshot Collective for more information. Much of the radical info presented on the show can be found at the Daily Bleed website. Google the Daily Bleed for more radical info. This has been This Week in Radical History, produced out of the Glee Glee Studios. A reminder of what anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman once said, if voting ever really changed anything, they would have made it illegal. So until next week, as always, I'm yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon.
Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, "Yo, I voted." Entertained for a minute that powerful people might get together and have a plan. Doesn't happen. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy buff. Who, you know, the only way you cure that, death, bloodshed. I don't advocate it, but I see that it's really the only answer.